Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
And once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today we are speaking with Mr. Lane Curtamus, founder of AsperianNation.com, that provides strategic neurodiversity business consulting to companies that want a competitive advantage in their market. Mr. Curtamus, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks very much for having me, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
And our pleasure to have you with us, and thanks for your time as well. So for starters, let's get right to it. What does Asperian Nation provide to companies, and what are the results?
We improve the business results of our customers. No matter what kind of business you're in, it always comes down to the people. We help businesses capitalize on neurodiversity. Most operations already have a level of neurodiversity, but they're totally unaware of it. We also help them take this to a new level so they can be strategic and move forward. We find that when our customers' employees can be their best professional and personal self, they'll do their job extremely well, and productivity and profitability soars.
And that sounds good to me. And you also have a very interesting company name. What exactly is an Asperian?
It's a great question. So Asperian is my word for employees who may have Asperger's syndrome or be somewhere on the autism spectrum. The reason I use the word Asperian is because it's a positive, no baggage word that, unlike the clinical stigma-ridden word autism, which has a high thunk factor, if you will, that word by itself can diminish opportunities for Asperians as well as their employers. Asperians are an untapped resource for organizations, and unfortunately, most managers know nothing about this. The reason I chose Asperian Nation is because there are a lot more Asperians around us than we're probably aware of. And honestly, if we thought a little bit more like Asperians tend to do, we might have a little bit better economy.
And I certainly would agree with you on that as well. Now, it seems that everyone is talking about diversity and inclusion, but it can be so confusing. How do you help customers to make sense of it and profit at the same time?
The starting point is, I like to point out to clients that everyone contributes to diversity and opportunities for inclusion, no matter how they look or how they define themselves. Employees want a diverse and inclusive workforce, and yet at the same time, some of their colleagues may feel a bit threatened about it. And this leaves the employer in the sometimes uncomfortable position where they don't really know whether to start or whether the efforts that they've made are good. And we find that the old-fashioned, what I call paint-by-numbers approach to diversity just doesn't work. I would say that diversity and inclusion doesn't happen by accident, and our process involves 9 key elements that when companies see how they work, they run to diversity as opposed to maybe running away from it, because there's so much upside, and our goal is to really make diversity and inclusion our customers' secret weapon, because it does pay dividends in productivity, profitability, creativity, and so forth, as well as a workplace culture that has a wellness feeling, which is so important.
Certainly appreciate what you do in the space. On behalf of AsperianNation.com today, we're joined by Mr. Lane Curtamus, founder of AsperianNation.com, that provides strategic neurodiversity business consulting to companies that want a competitive advantage in their market, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, do you think that we could be working closely with Asperians in our job and not even know it?
Of course, especially if your work environment has more than just a handful of people. I think it's quite likely. And the interesting thing is that you're probably sitting next to somebody who may be an Asperian, and they themselves may not be even aware of it, because this is kind of a hidden, often unrecognized a condition. And while in our business, we don't diagnose or label our coworkers or our clients, there are a couple of indicators of employees that may be Hesperians. And I'll just pass those along, and I think that might be of service to your audience. Hesperians are often, though not always, a little bit socially awkward. They may prefer to work alone. They really may be confused by office politics and may not get the humor that sometimes happens at the water cooler. But the flip side is this. These people tend to be employees who, when they come to work, they want to work. They're not there to goof around or socialize. They're folks who have great quantitative skills. They tend to be very precise. They are highly creative, and they often set a high standard for themselves in terms of day-to-day performance on the job and what they want to contribute.
Also, if you would, what are some myths associated with talent management that are hurting companies today? Get into some of those details.
Well, there are a ton of them. Probably don't have time for too many of them, but I'll share just maybe one or two. The first one, I think, it's so interesting. You know, we talk about talent management in the C-suite and in the HR department, as well as managers who are out on the shop floor. And many of the, and it's no fault of their own, but many of the people who are in responsible HR positions have actually probably have very limited experience managing much of anything, and yet they have this most important function that we call loosely talent management in their responsibilities. I think one myth that we see oftentimes, it kind of begins with the job description. The job description is an artifact. It tends to be a laundry list of expectations and value statements and competencies and requirements, education, licenses, and so forth, and goes on and on and on. And what I find by that is two things. First, I think companies would be better served if they were to really focus on the two or three big things that for that position are going to really move the company forward. But instead, they have this very long list of items, and so applicants don't necessarily know if they're going to be successful in that environment. They may be, but I think in reality, there's a lot of job descriptions that say excellent communication skills when most people in that company don't have excellent communication skills. They may have excellent communication skills sometimes, sporadically. Their skills may develop over time, but they're maybe not what you and I might consider to be excellent. Next, the job description has the potential for a lot of bias in it. You know, 5 years experience needed. Well, if someone has 15 years experience, are they overqualified? Or are you subliminally saying, we only want younger people in this shop? And I guess the last point I would make about job descriptions is that if you look at job descriptions compared from one company to another, you will see very similar things. It may be slightly different language, but they tend to be the same. And I think that's because businesses have been sold on the idea that sameness provides a lot of advantages for a company. And there are situations where that's true. But in today's hyper-competitive environment, it's the unique standout capabilities that some portion of your employee population has, which can really help you be more innovative and get a leg up on the competition. And when it comes to neurodiversity, while neurodiversity is often associated with autism and other sensory processing disorders, it's really about people who think differently and behave differently. And I think in our environment today, there's a premium on an organization that knows how to weave not just neurodiversity issues, but all kinds of diversity issues together in a way where they can create an ongoing self-sustaining advantage where people feel like they're valued because they can be the whole person that they are in the office and really deliver on engagement and move that company forward.
Well, certainly do appreciate your joining us here today and the focus on behalf of AsperianNation.com. In conclusion, is there a pro tip that you would like to share with our listeners as we conclude today?
Yeah, I'll pass along a really basic one. So if we just move away from the organization for a moment to the personal level, I think that can be helpful. So the first thing I would say is take responsibility for your own level of diversity awareness. And this is important. And the way to accomplish this is to really look around in your office for the person who you think, for whatever reason, is most different from you. You may know them well, you may not. But in any case, I would encourage listeners to approach that person and get acquainted, really make their relationship a bit more personal. That conversation can begin by saying, you know, I've noticed X, Y, and Z about you. Pay them a compliment. Try to understand who they are, and then be sure to share who you are with them. And over time, that conversation can really help us understand the level of diversity that's in our organization already. I would set a personal goal and would invite your audience to do this, which is to become the most diversity-aware employee or manager in the company. Don't just approach one person, but approach many people. And I think that one of the exciting takeaways is that while we are all unique, we also have much in common with those that we associate with, even if we're not aware of it at the surface level. And lastly, I would just say have fun with this, and we would be delighted if your listeners would share what they've learned from this experience with us.
And certainly appreciate those concluding remarks. Again, folks, it is AsperianNation.com. Mr. Curtamus, thanks so much for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Take care.
And thank you. We've been speaking with Lane Curtamus, founder of AsperianNation.com, that provides strategic neurodiversity business consulting to companies that want a competitive advantage in their market. And for all the details, simply visit AsperianNation.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.